If you were to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Acts chapter 2, that's what we're going to be looking at again this morning. Acts chapter 2, the church worshiping the Lord. This will be part 2. Since this is going into our Lent or pre-Easter resurrection services, because that's where it all started. At Pentecost, the day of the Holy Spirit came rushing in, and it filled the whole room with power and excitement. So we want to continue to look at these verses, Acts 2, and maybe others that will go along with the resurrection services. So beginning with verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, which says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, which were understood in their own language. It's what that verse 4 means, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. It is told of a story about a particular tribe or in the jungle where a sundial was given to these group of people to use. And to them, it was just a fixation or a thing. So they built a house over it to keep it safe and to keep it holy. This kept the sun away from it, and it made it useless. They beautified it, but it was without any purpose at all. And when you think about that in relationship with chapter 2, which we just read, it reminds us of the powerless Christians, or Christianity. The Holy Spirit, if it is treated at all, is treated as an emotional high or a theological concept rather than the supernatural person that he really is. And when you read chapter 2 here of Acts, it has a specific meaning of supernatural power that was unleashed upon the church at that time to do mighty works. So the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost in a sound to awaken them. It awakened them. When it awakened us, the sound of a mighty rushing wind came through here. Fire touched our forehead. You know, amazing things that just took place when we be awakened. If we were asleep, we'd be awakened. Nobody does that here, right? I mean, sleeping, that's what I'm talking about. No sleeping. So, the sound was to awaken them in a wind to move them, a fire to enlighten them and warm them, in tongues to make them speak. Now, not just unknown tongues, but to speak in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all speaking, they were all testifying in their own tongue what they were experiencing. And when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, a hold of me, and we're going to speak in its behalf in order to testify what is doing in our life, in the life of the church. So, this is a very fine statement of the case here in this scripture. Out of this rose this question. Is the church awake today? Well, it's narrow it down. Are we awake individually today? Are we on the move for Christ? Are we enlightened, are on fire for God? Are we using our tongues, our mouths for Him? That's a good question, isn't it? So the miracles of the Pentecost, just the first day. Just the first day. In verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, which means, I shared with you last week, it was fulfilled. It came, it was fulfilled. It had been promised, and now it is being fulfilled and still being fulfilled in our lives today. So, in the Bible, when is a symbol of the Holy Spirit? Any place that you see wind, fire, smoke, it's a symbol of the presence of God or the Holy Spirit. Just like when Moses went up on the Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, it was smoke there. Moses didn't encounter God's presence with his own eyes because he couldn't stand it, or he wouldn't be able to bear up under it, or he wouldn't even lived. He was able to see his shadow. But he knew it was the presence of God. So, when we think about at least three things I can think of that I want to share just this morning about the Holy Spirit. But first, let us look at three reasons. The symbol of the Holy Spirit here mentioned in Acts is because it is invisible. You can't see wind. How many of you have ever seen wind? You can't do it, can you? You can't see wind. Now, you can see the effects. You can see where it's been, whether it's been a hurricane or a tornado or something like that, but not the wind. You can't even take a picture of wind. Contrary to what you might have heard of, but it can't even be broken. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8 on your screen, he said this to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, he wanted to talk to Jesus and find out more about Jesus. Well, Jesus introduced him to some things that maybe he wasn't aware of, and maybe things that he, of nature, that he was aware of. But he said, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, when you got saved and the Holy Spirit came upon you, do you know where it came from? It just showed up, didn't it? I mean, I don't know if it was one of those experiences that it just lifted you up off of the ground and it shook you. Or you just felt the power of the Holy Spirit just like the wind blowing upon you. You didn't see it, but you experienced it and you felt it. I was a young person, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years old when I was sitting in a service. It was for children, young people. The one speaking, you know, we had music, we were speaking. This was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was visiting my friend, Gary Gardner. And we went to this rally, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, it jolted me. My heart started pounding, and I said, what is that? So after it was over and everything, and I got back home, I was talking to my mother, and I said, you know, it just something jolted me while I was sitting in my seat. And she said, what did it feel like? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't see nothing, but it jolted me. It shook me. And she said, well, it must have been the Holy Spirit. I said, wow, I didn't see it coming. And we don't. And after that, I felt it many, many other times as the Lord was preparing me to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So let's look at that last statement there. So with the Holy Spirit, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, the image Jesus used describes a wonderful experience we can have of realizing that God actually moves in and through us by His Holy Spirit. See, just as we do not know the origin or the destination of the wind, as verse 8 says, we do not know or control the Spirit. We can't control it. And when it comes, we acknowledge it, we accept it, or we ignore it. Now, you can't ignore the things that the wind does, can you? You can see, there's nothing you can do about it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it makes itself known in our lives. So, we know, what we do know are the effects of the wind and of the Spirit. So, life in the Spirit is a radical and unexpected as being born of the Spirit. Now, many things are very real, yet you and I can't see them. Have you ever seen a rainbow? How many colors in a rainbow? Sometimes you might say there's 3 or 4. But they can be as high as 4 different colors by the naked eye. Now, scientists say that through special lenses that are provided for experiencing and seeing the rays of colors and rainbows and certain things like that, through special lenses you can see up through thousands of different colors. But with the naked eye, you can't see it. Isn't that amazing? I would like to see those. I would like to look through those lenses and see thousands of colors that's in a rainbow, but with the naked eye, we can't see it. But they say they're there. So take somebody immersed in sin. Let the wind of the Spirit sweep across their soul, and you'll see the difference. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, or thieves, and covetous, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people will inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 11 it says, and such were of some of you. Now Paul said, now some of you were like this at some part and stage in your life. But there was a change that took place. And he gives credit to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You see that up there? You were washed. What does that mean? You was washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you enter into baptism, of course, God's already cleansed you of your sin. But when you enter the baptistry and water flows over you, it's a symbol of the washing of the blood, the purification that takes place in your life because of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, but you were sanctified. What does that mean? Sanctified. You then were then set aside. You were set apart by God unto special conditions to live for Him. Then it says, but you were justified. How are we justified? We are justified by Jesus Christ. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, where it says that before the foundations of the world that God chose us. And then as we read on down, it says, then you are justified by Jesus Christ to become children of God. And then in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by who? By the Spirit of God. You see, we can't get away from any scripture or anything because of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's where it is in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to do what we do as Christians for the good, for the sake of the kingdom of God. But yet, for you as individual, as you live your life daily, see, the wind is invisible. The Holy Spirit is invisible. You can't see it, but you can see its effects. You can always tell where it's been. And when the Holy Spirit indwells you, you know, everybody around you should be able to see where you've been and where you're going in the life of Christ. See, Jesus used this illustration to show that the reality of the Spirit living in a person is evidenced by the effect of the Spirit on a person's life. So it should be evident. When we look at one another, it should be evident that we are in the Spirit, or the Spirit of God lives in us. But sometimes our actions kind of erases all doubt if we're not in the Spirit. And I'll share more about that in a few minutes when we look at Ezekiel. But people can control neither the wind nor the movement of God's Spirit. There's a mild southerly wind in Europe called the Forfen, and it blows up from the Mediterranean Sea, bringing fresh like weather right into the midst of winter. So, two, even in the dark winters of our soul, you think about it, in the dark winters of your soul, when you're at your lowest, it is possible to feel the gentle warmth of the presence of God. And maybe when you're at your lowest, and when when everything else around you has caved in on you, you can still feel the presence of God if the Spirit of God lives within you. And the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit is present. So, secondly, as we look, the wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit because it is irresistible. See, you can't stop the wind. You can't control it. With all of our scientific experience and expertise, if a hurricane is approaching the shore, there is nothing in the world that we can change it or turn it around unless it does itself, dissolves, or unless God changes direction. A preacher was going to preach on the wind being a symbol of God, and he thought to himself that he would go and talk to a old sea captain. And he approached him and he said, tell me about the wind. Tell me your experiences. Tell me how all of that works. You're out to sea all the time, and you have experienced all kind of predictions and experiences and things like that. Tell me something of your own experience about the wind. He said, I'm only a sea captain. He said, I can't tell you anything about it other than when it comes, all I can do is set my sails and I go in this direction. And that's about the only thing we can do. We can set our sails in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to direct our paths if we'll follow it. We don't want ever to go against it, do we? We can't go against the wind. If you're in a boat, in a sailboat or whatever, you got to go with the wind. You got to set your sails in the direction that the wind will take you in the destination that you want to go. But you can't work against it, or else there's trouble. And so it is with the Holy Spirit in our lives. We always want to go in this direction. See, just like the sea captain that said, I'll tell you what I do know about the wind. It will take you in the direction that it wants you to go. And you see, in faith, we need to set ourselves to catch that wind, just like the early church here in chapter 1. Now, we talked about the invisible and the irresistible. Now, let's look at the symbol of the Holy Spirit of indispensable. See, you can't get along without it. You can't get along without the Holy Spirit, because it is a much part of our life. I want to take you to the story of Ezekiel in chapter 37. Start at verse 1. It says that Ezekiel, the power of God came upon him. And he said he was led in by the Spirit out into the valley. And what was this valley? If you ever read Ezekiel, I know Ed, Ezekiel 37, the valley of the what? Dry bones. And this is a symbol of what had happened to Israel when they went into battle. They got massacred. And all their bodies just lay in that valley. They didn't come and gather them, bury them. They just lay there because there were so many. Great numbers. And God took Ezekiel out there into that valley. And not only did he take him there, but he set it right in the midst of dry bones. Bones everywhere. And God asked Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones come alive again? You know what Ezekiel said? Lord God Almighty, only you know. And God said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones that they may live again. And Ezekiel, he prophesied, and all of a sudden, their strength began to stir, and muscular strength empowered these bones. And it says they began to come together. And God said, Ezekiel, keep prophesying. Prophesy that these bones will come alive. And then flesh and muscular and all of the things, the features of a body begin to come together. And they stood up. But still, there was no breath. And God said, Ezekiel, prophesy that breath will enter these bones. And as he prophesied, the bones began, the skeletons and all of that, the flesh and the muscular strength, they began to stand and move. And the Bible says that there were a great number, a great army, signifying that with God, nothing is impossible. And you take something and dead, God can make it alive again. And if you feel yourself drifting and spiritually dead, the Spirit can make you alive again. And that's why it's taking place right here in the church. Because all of the things that they had gone through up to this point in time, and then Christ had been crucified, and now a group of them had entered the upper room, and they were praying, and God was beginning to fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he commissioned them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And you see, that's what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives today. Empower us. See, we are wasting our time unless the breath of the God breathes upon us and affects our lives the way it did here at the church here in Acts. Just as we cannot fly a kite without the wind, our lives can be truly spiritual without the power of the Holy Spirit. In relation to John chapter 3, verse 8, I often have told this story of a young boy that was flying a kite on a cloudy day, unlike today, but a cloudy day. And the little boy had his hand upstretched towards the sky, and this man comes along, and he looks at him, and he says, "Young man, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm flying a kite." And the man looks up. He can't see anything but clouds. He said, "I don't see anything up there but clouds." He said, "My kite's up there." He said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "Well, you take hold of this string, and you will know. You'll feel the tug on it." And the man took a hold of the string, and sure enough, he felt that kite on the other end of that string. He could feel the tug. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives today. Enter into our lives, and then when we, at the right time in our lives, we need that tug, we need that encouragement, we need that drive, that strength, the power to witness, to do the things that God is wanting to do in our lives, it will be a reminder that the Holy Spirit still resides in our life. So, I ask you this morning, do you see the wind? No. But you can sense it, you can hear it, you can see the effects. We can, can't we? And those are good praise reports, aren't they? If we look at the wind as a symbol of the Spirit of God working in and through our lives. See, God wants to do a great work with all of us. He wants to do a great work within this church. And I was just thinking this morning, I was in my study this morning, praying and looking at the scriptures and praying, thinking about coming to church early this morning at 8:55 with our group that we had at one time, our prayer group. It was just me, Brenda, and Ed this morning. Merrill, Jimmy Longshaw, Helen Peck, prayer warriors. I'm going to miss that. I missed it this morning. This morning, as I was sitting there, I said, "Lord, bless this church continually, but we're going to miss these people who were faithfully Sunday after Sunday." So what does it take for each and every one of us to really get on fire for God, to really understand how to plug in, how to plug in? And I heard somebody say, go out of our comfort zone this morning. Was that right, Ed? We need to go out of our comfort zone sometime. We need to go that extra mile, the extra effort. If we want the blessing that God wants to bless us with individually, as a church, as we continue to grow spiritually together, God is wanting healthy lives, lives that are on fire for Him. You know, we could go to Revelation and look at all the seven churches there and the things that they were lacking in their zeal for the Lord. And here we are in the age of the 70 weeks prophesied from Daniel and Ezekiel about how that we are to be on fire for the Lord, being a Laodicean church, one that was lukewarm. He said, "I either want you hot or I want you cold." Not warm. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. So how serious are we in our own personal relationship with the Lord? Let the Holy Spirit and the power to plug us in and use us the way we see demonstrated here in the church. We know it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's invisible, indispensable, irresistible. But to plug into it and allow the Holy Spirit unleashed in our life, boy, we could do mighty, mighty things for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is always going to be working, but He wants to work in us individually. And then we come together as a church. You see the effects. 3,000 saved in one day. 3,000. Just thinking about how many are being saved in our churches in our nation today on a yearly basis compared to one day. You know that? Well, that's biblical times. Well, we're still in the new church age, and God is still wanting to do great things in our life. So as we're approaching the resurrection services, and as we approach in Easter, April the 16th, be thinking and praying about, God, empower me to do and go beyond what I've ever done in my life before for the sake of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the work of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for the power that You unleash within our lives that's available to us. You know, when we're driving down the road in a car, we can just stay at a certain speed, or we can accelerate and experience the power that's of those of the engine that's under the hood, or we can just remain, you know, at a constant speed. It's the same with our lives. We can just be motor along, live as we've always lived. But when we really flip the switch to the power of the Holy Spirit and let it to work through us individually and as a church, oh, great heights we could accomplish. Great goals could be seen. Great lives can be changed because of one person saying, Lord, I want to be on fire for You. Use me. Direct me. Fill me with Your Spirit. As we sing this invitation, Lord, there may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know You personally. And Your Holy Spirit, Your Spirit, is still revealing what we need to do as far as forgiveness of sin, giving us salvation, plugging in, connecting to the church, becoming a part of the body of Christ in a local church. Whatever it might be this morning, Lord, reveal it to us. Make it clear that when we step out, we have that peace that passes all understanding, knowing that we're coming forward, Lord, because You are leading us, directing us to make that commitment today. Lord, I praise You and I thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're singing Amazing Grace. It'll be up on the screen. In the book, it's 202.